This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And our Prophet explicitly said, in our religion, there is no monasticism. We don't have monks. We don't have those types of priests. We are people of the dunya and akhirah simultaneously. And tazkiyah needs to be done as you have your career and you excel in your career.
Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون لا يحصي عدد نعمه العادون ولا يؤدي شكره المتحمدون ولا يبلغ مدى عظمته الواصفون بديع السماوات والأرض إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأعتقد أن لا رب إلا إياه شهادة من لا يرتاب في شهادته واعتقاد من لا يستنكف عن عبادته وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده الأمين ورسوله المبين أرسله الله تعالى إلى الخلق أجمعين بلسان عربي مبين بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله المشركين وعبد ربه حتى أتاه اليقين فصلى الله عليه وعلى آل بيته الطاهرين الطيبين وعلى أصحابه المنتخبين وعلى من سار على نهجهم وسلك طريقهم إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد. Dear Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us to be conscious of him in the Quran when he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Today's khutbah is about one of the most central concepts of our religion. Some can even say it is the primary concept of our religion. In the entire Quran, as you're aware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given many oaths, many qasam, wal-duha, wal-asr. And the oath or the qasam is meant to emphasize what is going to come after it. And the strongest oath in the entire Quran, i.e., the most number of qasams that Allah has done in any one location, it is done in Surah Wash-Shamsi wa Duhaha. Over 15 different qasams are mentioned in over 11 verses in order to lead to one particular verse. So one can say that the most, if you like, qasam verse, the verse that has the most emphasis when it comes to Allah giving a qasam, is the verse قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who purifies his soul has been successful, and the one who pollutes his soul is the one who is destroyed. There is no other verse in the entire Quran that has been emphasized in terms of a qasam more than this verse. If you read Surah Ash-Shams, when you get to the middle of the surah, after the beginning is entirely qasam after qasam after qasam, Allah says, what is the point of the qasam? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who purifies the soul is the one that has been successful. And that is why don't be surprised when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links Jannah to the purification of the soul. You will only enter Jannah when the soul is purified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannati adnin tajri min tahti al-anharu khalidina fiha wa dhalika jaza'u man tazakka. The jaza, the reward of the one who has purified the soul will be Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar. So the concept of tazkiyah, of having a pure soul, of having a good heart, this is without a doubt of the most central aspects of our faith. As I said, one can truthfully state, this is the goal of the religion. This is why Allah revealed the Sharia. He sent the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the books. The primary goal is how we live a purified life so that we achieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So in today's brief khutbah, I want to remind us of this very complex topic. We cannot do justice in one khutbah, but a reminder is always of benefit. And the goal, as always, is to make us more curious so we begin our own journey outside and after the khutbah. So what is tazkiyatun nafs? How do we achieve it? What are some of the mechanisms to achieve tazkiyatun nafs? What are the goals of tazkiyatun nafs? What is the reward of tazkiyatun nafs? That will be briefly our khutbah today. The concept of tazkiyah, nafs. The word tazkiyah has two meanings. And if you understand these two meanings, you will understand what is tazkiyatun nafs. The first meaning of tazkiyah
is to purify, to cleanse. The first meaning of tazkiyah, something is filthy. When you do tazkiyah, it's no longer filthy. Something has elements that it should not have, impurities. After the tazkiyah process, it has no impurities. So the first meaning of tazkiyah is to purify, is to cleanse. And the second meaning of tazkiyah, zakka, in the Arabic language, pre-revelation of the Quran, zakka meant to grow and to flourish, to nourish. Zakka means something that is there is now bigger and better. So the word tazkiyah implies both of these concepts. The first of these concepts, you get rid of the negative. The first of these concepts, you eliminate the impurity, the filth. And the second of these concepts, you nurture the good. You make the good even more. You allow the soul to flourish. So the concept of tazkiyatun nafs, therefore, is a dual process. There are two prongs. There are two simultaneous things that you must do to achieve tazkiyah. The first of them, cleansing. And the second of them, nurturing and growing. And the two of these are obviously linked together, because when something is filthy, it will never reach its potential. And when you try to make something better than its potential, when you try to nourish something, you must cleanse it of its impurities. So the two go hand in hand. You cannot allow something to flourish until you cleanse it of its negatives. We all know in our backyard, if there are weeds, we're not going to have the flowers we want to grow. You have to nurture the flowers and get rid of the weeds at the same time. You have to water the flowers. You have to make sure everything is good and you eliminate the bad. The same concept applies for tazkiyatun nafs. And by the way, the word zakat is from the same concept of tazkiyah. The exact same zakat of our money and tazkiyah of our soul. The same concept. Whenever you hear a lecture about zakat, the lecturer will tell you the same thing. Zakat has two meanings. The first is to cleanse and the second is to grow. That's exactly the whole point of tazkiyatun nafs. When you give zakat, you purify your wealth and you allow Allah's barakah to come into it. So when you give zakatul mal, you are purifying the negative and you're allowing the positive to grow. And the same happens to tazkiyatu an-nafs. Now, therefore, if tazkiyah has two prongs, cleansing and nourishing, we must briefly talk about what exactly do we cleanse and how do we cleanse it and what exactly do we nourish and how do we nourish it. And again, I give the disclaimer, this is a deep topic, how much can we do in one brief khutbah? But just to summarize, the cleansing is done. The first prong, you get rid of. What do you get rid of? You get rid of every theological and spiritual and akhlaq impurities. You get rid of the impurities to do with theology, aqidah, the impurities to do with the soul, the impurity to do with your mu'amalat with other people. You cleanse the heart of that which should not be there. And without a doubt, the worst aspect that anybody can have is to worship other than Allah. And that's why ikhlas, sincerity, believing in Allah, the kalima, this is the beginning of all tazkiyah. When you affirm only Allah has the right to be venerated, when no other entity is competing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when neither your money nor your wealth nor your status, when there is nothing in this dunya you will sacrifice for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the ultimate beginning and end to tazkiyah. Tazkiyah begins with affirming La ilaha illallah. Tazkiyah begins by eliminating from your heart any competition, a'udhu billah, that Allah might have, because there is no competition in the heart of the believer. There should be no subservience, no ultimate loyalty, no veneration, no sacrifice of everything other than for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We eliminate from our heart any entity or any even concept that might be grabbing our attention that is diverting us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we do the tazkiyah by cleansing our heart from every single spiritual disease, every ailment that should not be there, we cleanse our heart. Every single marad or disease, not the physical disease, the spiritual disease of the heart. And this is a long list of spiritual diseases. You can listen to many khutbas and durus about the various diseases of the heart. But without a doubt, some of the most important diseases we should be aware of, without a doubt, are arrogance, which is the beginning of all spiritual disease. Iblis and arrogance. Arrogance, when you refuse to acknowledge the truth. Arrogance, when you refuse to submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you feel yourself superior to other people. This is the core of all spiritual diseases. And this leads to another spiritual disease, conceit. You want to concentrate on yourself. Another spiritual disease, showing off. Another spiritual disease, wanting to be the center of attention. Yet another spiritual disease is to be jealous and envious. All of these are spiritual diseases. And tazkiyah is done by cleansing the heart of these spiritual diseases. Your heart should be pure, as the Quran says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. As the Quran says, the qalb has to be salim, the qalb has to be pure, and that purity is achieved, as we said, by the concept of tazkiyah. And so we eliminate from our heart every negative. And this is done as well by monitoring the heart. You know, we all monitor this physical heart. We all check our blood pressures, our cholesterol. The doctors check it every year or so. So the similar way, our spiritual heart, there is a term in Arabic called muhasabatun nafs. Muhasabatun nafs is you monitor the spiritual level of your heart. And when it comes to muhasabatun nafs, you don't need necessarily to go to any other doctor, because you know the inner mechanisms of your soul better than anybody else. You have to start monitoring your own heart every day, every night. Monitor. Am I envious? Am I jealous? Am I arrogant? Am I conceited? Am I self-centered? Am I always thinking about myself and not other people? This is the beginning. You are the best doctor for your own qalb. You know your inner recesses. And that's why one of the main mechanisms of tazkiyah is you have to decide, you have to commit to become your own doctor, muhasabatun nafs. You have to start monitoring your inner mechanisms, and that requires honesty to yourself. That requires honesty to yourself. As Umar ibn al-Khattab said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. You had better account for yourselves before Allah will account for you. If you account for yourself, then on the day of judgment, accounting will be much easier. If you don't account for yourself, well then you have to face a bigger issue on the day of judgment. So tazkiyah is done, as we said, firstly by cleansing the heart. Cleansing it of theological problems and cleansing it of spiritual diseases and of akhlaq issues. Then we said the second aspect of tazkiyah is we want the soul to grow. We want the soul to nurture. We want the soul to become better and pure. So along with eliminating, because the two are not, it's not first this then that. You do the both together, because each one helps the other. The stronger your heart is, the easier it is to cleanse. And the more you cleanse your heart, the stronger the heart is. It's a circular thing. Each one helps the other. We do both simultaneously. We do both simultaneously. We don't wait until the one is done. No, you plant your seed and you get rid of the weeds. You put the water in and you monitor anything that's harming your plants. All of this is done simultaneously. The same goes for our qalb and our heart as well. So then, along with the tazkiyah, along with the cleansing, we said the next reality is growing. And what is that growing? How do we grow? How do we nourish? How do we replenish? Multiple ways to do this. Without a doubt, the number one mechanism of replenishing the soul is to practice the rituals of Islam. And every single ritual of Islam, its primary goal is the nourishment of the soul. The primary goal of salah and of zakah and of siyam and of hajj is to replenish the soul, to make the soul and the nafs stronger in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. The purpose of the salah is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ بِهَا وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. صَدَقَة, تُزَكِّيهِمْ. We talked about tazkiyah. And Allah is saying, صَدَقَة purifies their soul. When you give صَدَقَة, it doesn't just purify your money, it also purifies your soul. Because it eliminates stinginess, eliminates greed, it makes you generous. So Allah literally links the salah to purification. He links the zakah and sadaqah to purification. And the same goes for siyam and for hajj. Without a doubt, all of the rituals of Islam are the main mechanism to purify the soul. You cannot purify the soul when you're not praying regularly. You cannot purify the soul when you're not fasting Ramadan, you're not giving zakah. These are the primary mechanisms of tazkiyatun nafs. So, along with eliminating the bad, we must also perform the rituals. But it's not only that as well. There are other aspects of tazkiyatun nafs as well. And of these aspects, Of the greatest aspects of purifying the soul is to attach the soul to the Qur'an. The Qur'an is tadhkira, it is dhikr, it is meant to remind your soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah calls the Qur'an tadhkira and dhikr. The name of the Qur'an is dhikr. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. Allah calls the Qur'an dhikr, meaning the Qur'an reminds you like nothing else reminds you. So to immerse yourself in the Qur'an, to be surrounded by the Qur'an is of the mechanisms of tazkiyah. Of the mechanisms of tazkiyah is every type of dhikr, every subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. One of the ways your hearts will find goodness and wholesomeness is by the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of the mechanisms of tazkiyah as well, along with the rituals, along with Quran, along with dhikr, of the mechanisms of tazkiyatun nafs is also that we cleanse our heart by turning to Allah with tawbah and istighfar. And tawbah is unique in that tawbah is simultaneously cleansing and nurturing. It's the one of the deeds that when you do it, it is both category one and category two. You are cleansing and you are reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most effective mechanisms of tazkiyah is tawbah and istighfar. Because in tawbah and istighfar, what is tawbah and istighfar? You recognize your negative and you ask Allah for the positive. So you are literally doing one deed for both of them at the same time. You want to eliminate the negative and you want the positive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of the most important mechanisms of tazkiyah is returning to Allah, repenting to Allah, asking istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, of the ways to attain tazkiyah, and this is something that the Prophet himself explicitly mentioned, and that is to monitor your own bodily desires. Because the body and the soul, it is said that there is a small tension between the two. The body and the soul, at times there is a tension between the two. And if you give too much to the body and ignore the soul, then the tazkiyah becomes difficult and you harm the soul. And if you ignore the soul completely, what's going to happen is going to wither away. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore warned us about too much entertainment. إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَثْرَةُ الضَّحِكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ. Too much entertainment makes the heart go dead. Entertainment itself is halal, but a little bit of it, like salt to the food. If you are immersed in entertainment, and we have to be careful, we're in the summer months here, and most of us, our children especially, all they do is entertain all day and all night. And as I said, a little bit is understandable, but when all they do is entertain themselves, then this is not good for the soul. The soul needs some tarbiyah. It needs some spiritual food. If you don't give food to the soul, it will wither away and die. If you only concentrate on the body and the pleasures of the body, we have both. We give the body its due and we also give the soul its due. So of the ways of doing tazkiyah is we control the desires of the body, and we only affirm the bodily desires in that which is halal, and we minimize that which is even mubah, but it is taking up too much of our time. So all of these are mechanisms of tazkiyatun nafs. One other point before we finish our first khutbah. The Quran has very interesting categories of the soul. And this is well known. The Quran mentions three categories of the nafs. In the whole Quran, there's three categories of the nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is a nafs that is al-lawwama. And a second category, a nafs that is amara bisu. And a third category, a nafs that is mutma'inna. In the whole Quran, there's three specific adjectives or descriptions given. The first of them, in Surah Yusuf, Allah mentions that there is a nafs that is amara bisu, a nafs, a soul that instead of attaining tazkiyah, it's commanding the owner to do evil all the time. Amara bisu. A second category, فَلَا أُقْسُمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَ. Allah is swearing by the nafs that is regretful, guilty, reproaching itself. It's not at peace, it's at unease, but it's not evil. It's kind of in the middle. It is vacillating between good and evil. It has points of good and points of evil. And so at times it's feeling good, at times it's reproaching itself. It's not at full comfort and ease. And then the highest and the third category, an-nafs al-mutma'inna, the soul that is in perfect ease. Now, the goal of tazkiyah is to go from an-nafs al-amara bisu to an-nafs al-mutma'inna. The goal of tazkiyah to nafs, we go from one side to the other. Some ulama have said, Some ulama have said that every one of our souls is in one of these three categories. So some people are nafs al-ammara bis-su, some people are nafs al-mutma'inna, and some people are nafs al-lawama. And this is an opinion. However, the other opinion, which I personally sympathize with, is that actually the same soul can be all three depending on your own spiritual state. The same soul can be all three, not at the same time, at different times. When you are more pious in the month of Ramadan, when you are doing Hajj and Umrah, when you're spiritually strong, your nafs becomes mutma'inna. You feel at peace, you feel at ease, you feel good. When you are in the midst of evil, this is a nafs al-ammara bis-su. You have lost sense of religiosity. You're doing things that will cause you shame and embarrassment, and your nafs is ammara bis-su. And in the middle, when you're not committing a sin, when you're not at the height of ecstasy, you think of your good deeds, you're happy. You think of your bad deeds, you're sad. This is a nafs al-lawama. You are reproaching yourself. Why did I do this? I could have been better. This is a nafs al-lawama. Our experience teaches us, every one of us, is these three depending on our state of religiosity. Every one of us is these three. But the goal, what is the goal? The goal is that when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the malakul maut comes, when the angel of death comes, the goal is that our nafs should be mutma'inna. And this is what Allah says in the Quran, ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. O nafs that is mutma'inna, this is at the time of death. This is when you're still alive and you see the angel of death. You need to have nafs al-mutma'inna to get this. You have to have tazkiyah. And of course, since we don't know when the angel of death will come, we have to make sure our soul has reached nafs al-mutma'inna. Ya ayyatuha nafs al-mutma'inna. O nafs that is at content and peace. Irji'i ila rabbiki. Come back to your Lord. So right now the nafs is over here. The nafs is mutma'inna in this world. And Allah is saying, because you're mutma'inna, come back to me. Radiyatan mardiyya. I am pleased with you, you are pleased with me. Fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Come into my jannah, come into the righteous servants. That's who's going to happen? The nafs al-mutma'inna. And how do we get to nafs al-mutma'inna? By the tazkiyah of the nafs. And one final point of tazkiyah to nafs, which is of course central to this concept, is that obviously, tazkiyatun nafs is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try, we put in the effort, but as usual, every effort has to be Allah blessing it. We do what we need to do, but in the end, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that fulfills the effort. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says explicitly in the Quran. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us, were it not for Allah's blessings on you, none of you would ever have been able to purify your soul. You don't control. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can try, put in the effort. And whoever puts in the effort, Allah says, I will purify his soul. But you must put in the effort. And you have to realize in the end, Wallahu yuzakki man yasha. Allah is the one who does tazkiyah. Allah is the one who cleanses. You put in the effort to cleanse. And you are sincere to want to be cleansed. And you want to achieve that tazkiyah. But in the end, it is Allah who grants. And because it is Allah who grants, one of the ways you must do tazkiyah is by raising your hands to Allah and asking Allah for tazkiyah to nafs. And this is exactly what we learn in the prophetic traditions, in the hadith, in the sunnah. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would regularly make dua, especially in tahajjud. He would make dua to Allah. Allahumma aati nufusaha taqwaha, zakkiha, anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. This is a prophetic dua. It's a hadith, it's a dua he would make in tahajjud and in other salawat. He would make this dua. Oh Allah, make my soul have taqwa, purify my soul, zakkiha, purify my soul. Memorize this dua. Zakkiha, anta khayru man zakkaha. You are the best, meaning the only one who purifies the soul. So, O Muslims, understand the blessings of tazkiyatun nafs. It is via tazkiyatun nafs you will earn Allah's pleasure and enter Jannah. Understand the mechanism. It's two-pronged. You have to cleanse the bad and nurture the good. Understand how this is done, and I've summarized much of this. And of course, realize as well that in the end, only Allah is the one who grants tazkiyah. So you have to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for that tazkiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with and through the Quran. And may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram through our lifespan. Ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him for His the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Astaghfirullah.
الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Without a doubt, tazkiyah is one of the most important goals of our religion. However, as with all such concepts and goals, we have seen historically that many people go to extremes either way. And this is, we learn from our past and our history. We learn from misinterpretations. We learn from incorrect ways what is the correct way. And just like every aspect of Islam, you have those that have gone to both extremes, so too in tazkiyah, we have those that have gone to the both extremes. Without a doubt, the most common extreme, may Allah protect us all, is to ignore tazkiyah, to not make tazkiyah a priority. That is without a doubt a problem. And of course, at the individual level, this is an individual problem. But perhaps worse than this, there are movements, there are interpretations of Islam, there are trends that completely neglect tazkiyatun nafs. They don't concentrate on the soul and the purification of the soul. And we see the effects of those movements, any trend, any group or sect that doesn't concentrate on tazkiyah, we see the impact that they go a wrong way. They act overly fanatical. They lose compassion. They don't have the softness of the heart. And we see this historically, and we see it in our times as well. Tazkiyah is indeed a central concept. And anybody who neglects it, neglects it at their peril. This is the one extreme. On the other extreme, again, as with all concepts, there are those that have taken tazkiyah and they have made it something in their minds that is the only goal of Islam. And so for them, tazkiyah is the seminal goal and all other goals are neglected. And this is against the Quran and against the Sunnah. Of the goals of Islam is you live a good life, you have a good family, you establish a marriage and children. Of the goals of Islam, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. Of the goals of Islam, you have a job and a career. Of the goals of Islam, you build a civilization and have izzah. Of the goals of Islam, you contribute to mankind. And none of this contradicts tazkiyah. And this is a mistake and a misunderstanding that some groups have, that tazkiyah means I have to cut off from society. Tazkiyah means just ibadah, tahajjud, and that's it. Tazkiyah means it's just my own muhasabah. And our Prophet ﷺ explicitly said, in our religion, there is no monasticism. We don't have monks. We don't have those types of priests. We are people of the dunya and akhirah simultaneously. And tazkiyah needs to be done as you have your career and you excel in your career. Tazkiyah needs to be done as you get married and you fulfill the rights of the husband and wife. Tazkiyah needs to be done as you raise your children to be the best. Tazkiyah needs to be done and you contribute to mankind and you build civilization and you bring izzah to Islam. Izzah in every single sense, political, economic, military, every type of izzah also has to be given. And this is the real tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is done along with the dunya. It is not done in contrast to the dunya. That's not the way of our religion. And unfortunately, some trends and some movements have done this, and that is also a mistake. So the ultimate tazkiyah is found in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you see his seerah, and when you understand who he was and what he did, he was successful at every aspect of the dunya, and he was obviously the most successful in the deen as well. This is how tazkiyah is established. Real tazkiyah of the soul, it is done in spite of your busy schedule and not by abandoning your schedule. Real tazkiyah is done as you live in this dunya and you contribute to this dunya. That is how tazkiyah is done. As for this notion, in order to have tazkiyah, I have to break away from the dunya. I'm sorry, you have misunderstood. And this is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So tazkiyah is a goal. And perhaps one can say it's the primary goal, no problem. But that goal doesn't mean all the other goals are not done. No. Other goals are also there, and we must bring the healthy middle and the balance, and we must do what we can to fulfill our rights of this world along with the worship of Allah. And in reality, when we understand this, then tazkiyah is also done via one's contributions to mankind, via one's family. That's why even zakat is called tazkiyah. And how are you going to give zakat if you don't have money and you don't have a career? So even when you give zakat, it is a type of tazkiyah. So the ultimate tazkiyah is the combination of being the best you can be in this dunya and your heart is spiritually pure. And when we do this, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll reach our maximum potential. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant our souls purity and tazkiyah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the path
of tazkiyah easy for us. Allahumma ni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la tad'a fa hal yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta wala hamman illa farajta wala daynan illa qadayta wala maridan illa shafayta wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman wala taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladina amanu rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al islam wal muslimin. Allahumma man aradana aw arada al islam wal muslimin bisu فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.